Welcome back to My Seminary Life. I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and today we're dropping back in with our good friend, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as we explore what Bonhoeffer had to say about the existence of God. And spoiler alert, that's a clickbait title. This episode has nothing to do with apologetics whatsoever. But before you start coming for me in the comments, let me just make something very clear. I'm not the one clickbaiting you, though I did write the title of this episode. Bonhoeffer clickbaited me, okay? This is not me clickbaiting you. Bonhoeffer clickbaited all of us, and I'm just relaying the message. So thank you for dropping into today's episode. For those of you who are coming in for the very first time, welcome. Here on the show, we're big fans of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Mwah! Chef's kiss. He's a great guy. And throughout the past couple years, as I've dove more into the theology and life and the historical context of Bonhoeffer and Nazi Germany and all the liberal theology movement of Germany and the whole bit, one thing I've been trying my absolute best to do is to analyze Bonhoeffer in that context and to be as neutral as possible in the consumption part. Obviously, I have a worldview and blah, 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 so it's going to get skewed. But the reason why I've been doing that is because there's a bit of a battle going on for who gets to lay claim to Dietrich Bonhoeffer at this point. For years, the more liberal side of Christianity has been like, he's our guy, hands off. And the conservative side of Christianity has gone, that's fine. We don't like what he said about living in a world where God doesn't exist. And, you know, but the cost of discipleship is cool. So as long as we can have that, that's cool. That's how things have been up until very recently, when all of a sudden conservative Christians have gone, hold on, he wanted to kill Hitler. So now we're really into this idea, even though we're all a bunch of fascists. Sorry, I shouldn't say that about all conservative Christians. Even though 90% of us are fascists. I just lost so many listeners. Oh, well. Anyway, the point is, there's a big battle over who gets to claim the rights to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's a whole IP battle. We forgot he's a human. And so I am trying to analyze Bonhoeffer as best as I can in his context, which, yes, this is my way as a 30-year-old man to kind of get away with learning about World War II without it being weird. I guess we all do that at some point. And trying to see, like, where does he fall? Where does he fall naturally, rather than trying to claim him on one side or the other? Because in reality, there are times that in his time, he is a bit more moderate. There are points in his theology at the time where he's more progressive. There's points in his theology then that may have been more progressive or liberal, but now actually do kind of come off more as traditional conservative, but also Bonhoeffer was a liberal theologian. So, you know, there's just that plain fact of he was part of the liberal German theology movement and was not shy about that. And so that is the side that he falls on. But again, because all of this stuff is on a sliding spectrum, you know, as I just said a moment ago, there are going to be times where he kind of sounds like both. And although the whole being a part of Valkyrie is probably not the best reason to want to claim him as a hero, or shouldn't be the only reason to claim him for your side, conservative Christians, whether you're fascists or not, is, you should probably come up with more than that. Just saying. Because he has a lot of good stuff to say. No matter what side you want to fall on here, though he is a liberal theologian, no matter what side you fall on the spectrum here, conservative, liberal, moderate, all jokes aside for a moment, Bonhoeffer has a lot of thought-provoking things to say, and so it is worth sitting with him just for that, at least to just see things presented from a different viewpoint. Because, as I have talked about before, with Bonhoeffer studies is that at its core, liberal theology isn't trying to just come up with reasons that you don't have, that you can do whatever you want, but rather it is asking the question why. Where conservative Christianity may be more comfortable with tradition, or at least rewriting how tradition has, quote, always been, when it maybe not, rapture theology, liberal theology is willing to say, but why do we believe these things? What if this? What if that? And so, with all of that being said, today we're talking about Bonhoeffer on the existence of God. And again, that's a clickbait title. We're not doing an apologetic style episode here today. I actually have been going through, kind of like wrestling with lately, you know, we've done two rounds of apologetics here on my seminary life. And although I don't think those episodes were a waste of time, they were very interesting. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I wasn't required to take an apologetics course when I was in seminary, and everyone gasps loudly about that. Also didn't have to take a church history class, and I can hear far off in the distance Christian Ashley gasping. Oh, there it is. I heard it there. I didn't have to take an apologetics class, so I've done these two rounds of apologetics just to kind of like fill that void a little bit. But the more I sit with it, the more I'm like, if I do more apologetics series episodes, I want to switch gears on that, because I just am really questioning how we do apologetics anymore, if it really is all that helpful. And that's a good way to segue into what Bonhoeffer actually wants to talk about here, because when we think about, you know, strip away the Bonhoeffer part for a moment. If I said this episode is on proving the existence of God, you can already assume what we're going to talk about, all the teleological and ontological arguments for the existence of God and the logical argumentation and all of that very Greek things that we do to prove the existence of God. Thank you, St. Thomas Aquinas. I might actually agree with Joshua Knoll on that one. But when it comes to this, are we not just learning a preset argument that, one, may be a little bit outdated as to how current people think and process information, and two, aren't we beyond that in how we are to witness now, that the whole let's just be the smartest, most logical person and people will convert to Jesus? Aren't we getting back to where things should have always been, of a relational build in order to win people to Jesus? Like, come on. Aren't we like, so I question the, if it's helpful to continue to do apologetic style episodes as I have been doing it, if that's actually profitable, or if, you know, when we, if those kinds of episodes need to take a different turn. Anyway, so this is not Bonhoeffer here trying to prove the existence of God through logical argumentation or natural order or any of those usual kind of argumentation. And trust me, I'm a little disappointed like you are, because I was kind of interested to see what he was going to say towards those things. But instead, this is more of an argument, a presentation on means of how we know of God rather than how we do it. It's more so about the tools we use to know God versus how to witness to somebody through logical argumentation, I think is one way to put it. And so for that, we now have to jump in our little time machine and head back to the year 1930 when Bonhoeffer is visiting America. So Bonhoeffer is visiting the East Coast. He's over in the New England area, specifically hanging out at Union Seminary. And Bonhoeffer is dismayed over the state of theology in the United States, and all God's people said amen. I know this is like a cliche to say, and I usually try to shy away from cliches, but Bonhoeffer would be rolling over in his grave at this point of how the state of American theology is for completely different reasons. What he is dismayed over in 1930 is very different from what he would be dismayed over now. He would be dismayed over the fact that, you know, the German Christians, a.k.a. Christian nationalists, are running rampant. You know, the very thing that was helpful to Adolf Hitler to take over Germany in the church through the church is, you know, prominent nowadays. Cool. But that's not the issue here in 1930. The issue is this conversation of how do we know that God exists? What are we using to know that God exists? This is a moment where Bonhoeffer is actually lining up very closely with one of his contemporaries, also former student of Adolf von Harnack, Karl Barth, which actually brings this full circle to the last time I talked about Bonhoeffer, because in that episode, when he gives his eulogy on Adolf von Harnack, I talk about how, you know, him and Barth, Bonhoeffer and Barth, that is, two roads diverge in the woods, and they took two different paths. Bonhoeffer going the more liberal route, and Barth actually going the more conservative route. But this is one of those points where him and Barth actually very much agree with each other. Actually, the book I was using to read and study this little lecture that he gives is says he drank heavily from the Barthinian well. I think that's how you say that, the Barthinian well, at this point. And what Bonhoeffer and Barth, by extension, have to say here today is actually not anything new. This is an ongoing debate within Christianity on how we do theology. Bonhoeffer and Barth are going to argue for we know God through the scripture. Whereas it was very common at Union Seminary, what they were teaching and what is still commonplace today, that we know God through scripture and philosophy and ethics. Okay, so it is a narrow through scripture versus a rounded scripture, philosophy, and ethics viewpoint. And like I said, this is still a common talked about, debated thing, even still to this day. Way back here on the show, when I was in Systematic Theology 1 and 2, we had two textbooks. Okay, we had three, but we never were assigned any readings from it. And of course, that was the one I had to buy, so whatever. Anyway, but there were two main textbooks. One of them was, of course, Systematic Theology by Grudem, and the other one was Christian Theology by Millard Erickson. Okay? And these two books alone really highlight this thing that Bonhoeffer is all bunched up about. And it's... with Grudem's book, it was very much just an analysis of scripture when it comes to formulating theological viewpoints and different theological perspectives. Whereas Erickson's book is scripture and philosophy, a lot of philosophy actually, and some ethics peppered in as well in order to form theological viewpoints. Now, depending on your viewpoint, the idea that we know God specifically through scripture is either makes plain sense because obviously it's his word, or it could sound very reductionistic almost to the point of, you know, I just kind of said the plain sense thing. If the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense kind of thing, right? Like, that seems very limiting. But keep in mind, this is actually consistent within Bonhoeffer's framework. Several times now, both just right in this last episode that I did on Bonhoeffer with von Harnack, it is very consistent that Bonhoeffer has a very high view of scripture. And I know that's shocking. A liberal cares about the Bible. Whoa. Yeah, they like the Bible too, dingoes. Anyway, Bonhoeffer has a very high view of scripture. He has said before in the past that real preaching, true preaching, is when, okay, I've talked about on the show in the past, but chronologically, I guess he hasn't actually said this yet. I just thought of that. That real preaching is speaking the word of God over each other. It's not the formal homily or 45-minute TED talk with a Bible verse of some churches, but is when anytime any of us are speaking the word of God to each other. And that is within the same framework I have of how sanctification works. That is the truth of God the Father spoken over us, worked through us by the Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of Jesus. Okay? Now, I do have a broader way that that truth is conveyed to us. That's where I maybe fall a little bit more onto the mystic side of things. And I do wish we would have gotten, or maybe I just haven't come across it yet, Bonhoeffer spending some time with some of the mystics, because I don't think that really exists. Although how he would do discipleship and community, I think, does kind of move more that direction. Anyway, Bonhoeffer is very much a truth comes through the word of God, and we are transformed through that. And therefore, since that is the chosen place where God has revealed himself, that is to be our primary place that we are to know God and to therefore build theological frameworks through, rather than philosophy, bringing in philosophy and ethics. And hear me closely at this point. Hopefully those claps got through the mic. Bonhoeffer's not saying that philosophy and ethics has no place in the life of a Christian, because let's not forget that Bonhoeffer was an ethicist. Ethicist? I think that's the word. Ethicist through and through. He considered his big magnum opus to be his book on ethics. Bonhoeffer thought critically about how Christians are to live ethically. And I think that is actually something that's very much missing from the normal diet of Christianity anymore, of thinking through things in an ethical lens. And keep in mind, again, I'm not talking about, oh, let's sit around and debate Kantian ethics, which is my favorite form of ethics to debate. Not that I think it's right, but because I find Immanuel Kant to be fascinating. He's like the guy I love to disagree with the most, honestly. And when I told my humanist brother-in-law, Joe, who was on the show before, about how I like Immanuel Kant, he said something to the effect of how I must like getting kicked in the nuts because that's what it's like to read Kant. Anyway, that was for free. Has nothing to do with this episode. That was just for free. Great exchange with Joe. Anyway, so and again, I'm not talking about like, let's sit around and debate ethics, but rather understanding like how we live in this world is there are, I feel like we have divorced like ethical ramifications for how we do things in the world and want to make it solely like this spiritual, well, it's for Jesus, so the end. And it's like, no, what we do impacts other people around us. And I was told to love my neighbor. And so I need to think about that, how what I do impacts other people. And so, yes, very much so, ethics plays a role in how, in the Christian life. It should play a bigger role in the Christian life, and we should probably talk more about ethics and understanding that, especially when we talk about righteousness. Like, righteousness, we've made a very spiritual, like, mystical construct, when in reality, righteousness is doing the most amount of good for the most amount of people. Like, that is what righteous, being a totally righteous person, like Finn from Adventure Time, is, you know. the Doctor in Doctor Who is an example of someone who is a totally righteous person, because the Doctor is constantly seeking to do the most amount of good for the most amount of people, even when the people involved, species involved, are maybe bad. Anyway, that was sidetrack. Just a little bit of a sidetrack there. Anyway, so Bonhoeffer is not dismissing philosophy. He's not dismissing ethics, especially, as a waste of time completely. There is a place for philosophical and ethical studies and to think about those things critically in the life of a Christian. But when it comes to knowing God, we need to get back to center. So we're kind of building off a little bit of the reorientation episode from last week here. We need to get back to the basics here of, if we want to know God, we need to be in Scripture. That is how we build our theology of who God is, because that is how God has chosen to reveal himself. And honestly, even though I do have a broader how God can speak truth into our lives, how the Father speaks truth into our lives through prayer, fasting, art, nature, the whole bit, like, even though I have this broader view, still at the end of the day, I have to make sure that what I think God is communicating to me is in line with Scripture, because again, that's where he has chosen to reveal himself. So once again, Bonhoeffer is bringing us back to the basics of having a high view of Scripture, of spending time in his word, but also as a healthy reminder, not to dismiss the trimmings outright. That philosophy, and for Bonhoeffer, especially ethics, has a place in the life of the Christian, and we need to recapture that. We need to get back to a place of understanding that what we do has ramifications now. So often, we think in terms of just the spiritual. We're gonna do this because it's for the kingdom of God. But this is making an impact here and now with real people as well, in a real world with nature as well. And so we need to be thinking along those terms as well. How does this impact the people around us? But when it comes to knowing God, yes, we need to be firmly established in the word, firmly grasp it, firmly planted in Scripture, so we may know our God better. But also, just don't sit around and read your Bible all day. Like, that's a conversation for another episode. I'm sure we'll get there eventually, but you know, that's not an excuse to just sit around and constantly be studying the Word of God. Like, you need to get out there, folks. Okay. So that's Bonhoeffer, another edition, and we have some more Bonhoeffer coming around the corner for you, because there's a certain event coming up here pretty soon, and we need to, I want to start making this an annual thing here on My Seminary Life. At some point, My Seminary Life is going to stop just having series altogether, and it's just going to be nothing but a constant stream of special episodes and series that have to happen every year, and I'm just going to... just going to be copy and pasting things in constantly. Tradition, woo! Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Pass this episode along to a friend and check out the other great shows here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network, including Let Nothing Move You, The Bible After Hours, and my sister podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party. The one-year anniversary special is just right around the corner. And so not only is there a fun episode planned for that, got some great things on the horizon for the upcoming second year of the show, and so check that out if you haven't yet already. And you can find my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. Been uploading some sermon content over there recently, and yeah, thanks again for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. This is Brandon signing off, reminding you as always that theology is for everyone, so keep on studying.